This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. And we're joined by former Congresswoman Nan Haworth. She is a Republican from New York and serving as the keynoter today at the 2019 John Brough Symposium hosted by the Riley Center for Media and Public Affairs at LSU's Manship School. It's a March 13th event, so next Wednesday, Politicking White Female, the Political Life of Women, and exploring the barriers that women in political leadership face. And things are getting better, but women are still a distinct minority in the U.S. Congress and in most other bodies of leadership, even though women slightly outnumber men in population. So Nan Haworth, a long way since 1920 when women were given the right to vote, but still some miles to travel.
So true, Jim. And if I may offer a small correction, it's politicking while female.
Okay.
So we're...
I tell you, I'm glad you corrected me. I was reading fast and it... Although it would apply, but it's politicking while female.
It would apply to me.
It would apply to you, but of course there are many people who are minorities who are
many women of color.
But I am certainly glad you corrected me. Thank goodness you did.
Oh, of course.
But go ahead. What about the gains made? We've got a lot of women now running for president. We had one in 2016 who was almost elected, who got more votes than the other guy, but still many miles to travel.
Yeah, well, Jim, have been the beneficiary, I think, and I think many women have actually, of the eagerness in many. And I want to offer this good news, basically. The eagerness in so many circles, including among Republicans, I'm a Republican, to welcome women into our political fold and to have them participate actively in political life. And I think we certainly can look at barriers, and I think those barriers have been, yes, in certain ways, societal. I'm not sure. I wouldn't call them institutional per se. And many of them are at a much more individual level. And I think that does, interestingly enough, I have had a small hypothesis about the differences between the numbers, which are significant, as you know, between women participating on the Democratic side and women participating on the Republican side. But I can tell you that, and I think a lot of that is cultural, actually, but I can tell you that certainly as a Republican woman, I felt I had distinct advantages over my male counterparts, interestingly enough.
Why?
Well, because, quite honestly, people were looking for women. On the Republican side, certainly that was the case. And I don't mean that in a superficial way. I mean that, my Republican colleagues were well aware that if you look at the numbers, certainly in this current Congress with its bumper crop of women elected to office, overwhelmingly, those folks are on the Democratic side. And when I was elected to the House of Representatives in 2010, we had that big Republican wave into the House. There were several women who were elected, but we only comprised 10% of the House Republican Conference. We all used to laugh ruefully about it. But the women whom we had, we like to put them front and center as much as we could, because we know that we need to, on the Republican side, certainly, and I could speak to that more expertly, obviously, we know that we need to encourage women who are conservatives, who are Republicans, to get into the fray. And I think there are cultural reasons among conservative women why they may tend not to do that.
And very few women of color on the Republican side in Congress.
Yes, this is true.
And you say that's a cultural thing. Yeah. How so?
Well, it's a cultural thing, I think, among conservative women. This is my little hypothesis, Jim, and you are a political expert, so... I'm a relative neophyte, to say. say the least, but having just entered politics 10 years ago. But I think that the sense I have had among the women I know in politics is not, and we have lots and lots and lots of women in the now 18th Congressional District of New York. And honest to goodness, well, we were also represented by a strong woman who also a Republican for six terms before I entered office. She was ousted by a Democrat, but then I won the seat again. But, you know, women with no qualms whatsoever and no feeling at all that somehow we were at a disadvantage. I mean, it just didn't even come up. But, you know, of course, culturally we had the district. But I think a lot of women who are more of a more conservative bent tend to be very deeply linked to house and home. You know, they and politics is of an exceedingly demanding endeavor. And that's why I was so interested to see the story about the Board of Ethics in Louisiana allowing the woman who would run for office to use campaign funds for childcare, right? Because that's a way of helping to facilitate a woman's participation in politics. I think on the conservative side, I think a lot of women tend more to defer to their male counterparts. There are a lot of resources, a lot of personal resources that get involved, even if you can use campaign funds for certain things. And I think it's in a lot of families, you know, on the conservative side, women may not be as eager to spend those resources on politics if they're not, you know, if they don't perceive themselves to be as much in charge of them. That's my little hypothesis. You know, I've shared that with various women, and there have been some nods on the conservative side. You know, yeah, maybe that rings true. But I think that may be a cultural barrier. There's certainly no institutional barrier on the Republican side. We want women involved. We're desperate to get women involved. And we have a lot of voters who are women, obviously, many, many. But we'd like to see them, you know, step up and run for office.
We're visiting with Nan Hayworth for a few more minutes, former Congresswoman Republican from New York. She is a board-certified ophthalmologist, and she is the keynoter at the Bro Symposium next Wednesday. It's a day-long panel of discussions and events from 8 to 5:30 at the Riley Center for Media and Public Affairs at LSU's Manship School. Now, a couple of questions. What about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Your assessment of a New York congresswoman like you who is gaining a lot of attention.
She has gotten a lot of attention. She is absolutely expert at garnering attention. And look, she's an attractive young woman, and you know, I don't say that, you know, superficially about looks, but she's, you know, she's energetic, she's passionate, she is fearless, so it's not surprising to me. And of course, she won an upset victory against a, you know, a very senior member of the House Democratic Caucus who had been in office for decades. So, you know, she was in great position to capitalize on her publicity. But I do understand, you know, when Whoopi Goldberg said, hey, you know, sit down and, you know, learn some things about the way the way Congress works, the way, you know, the way society makes changes, the way we change our laws, et cetera. Don't get too far out on a limb. And I think, you know, she can also create problems for herself. So, you know, she will learn as she goes along, you know, the limits of people's tolerance. You know, after a while, you know, your charms may become irritants instead. I disagree with her ideas about the relationship of government to the people. I disagree quite strongly, but I actually understood completely and did, in certain respects, agree with her when she asked on behalf of her constituents, because as you know, Jim, it got national publicity. Amazon was going to...
All right, we're going to pick up with that and spend a few more minutes with former Congresswoman Nan Hayworth after this time out. Congresswoman Hayworth, a few listeners have sent me inquiries to ask you, and I will,
yes,
about our president, who often says disparaging things about women, calling one a dog, another horse face, and I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Does that bother you?
Well, sure, that kind of language does bother me. I submit to you that that is... For I would agree again about the choice of words, but that's not directed against women. That's directed against a particular person in every instance. It doesn't make the language right. I completely agree. But this is a president who, you know, I know well, has respected, elevated, collaborated with women, strong women with strong opinions and great abilities throughout the decades, including many in his current administration. So he's and under his presidency, of course, women have returned to work by enormous numbers. You know, unemployment for women, along with unemployment in communities of color, for the disabled, for veterans, has fallen to lows that we haven't seen in decades, if not record lows. So what the president has done for women in this economy and in his administration is really remarkable and a great good.
But
so
if,
I look at that.
If he were to call a man a dog, he might get a punch in the mouth, or his portly body might be on the ground.
Use some pretty tough language about.
So is it cowardly to call a woman a name like that?
If anything, he's you can look at it this way, Jim. He's treating the specific person about whom he may use that term. And again, I didn't use that term, but he's treating them just the same way he would a man. And he's said plenty of very tough and rough language about men as well. So it's his pugnacity. Again, not my style, not what I would, if he called me up and said, Nan, what should I say? This would not be what I would advise the president to say. But that does not make him in any way against women. That's just he has a particularly pugnacious style that manifests itself in that way from time to time. But it's an equal opportunity style.
You know him, it sounds like.
Women the same.
You know him.
I've met the president. I met him once, and actually before he was president. But I have worked with the Trump team in a number of ways, including with Ivanka, who is a remarkable woman who cares very much about what happens in this country, especially about education and job training, including, in particular, among communities of color and among young women. So... and this is with her father, or the president's enthusiastic support. So he's working. Again, look at what he does. What he is doing is effective. And, you know, Jim, my feeling is this. We are all, as human beings, imperfect vessels. So I seek to see what is happening in terms of policy, in terms of the relationship of government to the people. And the president has done, again, many very wise and good things. He's got a great team around him of women and men, many of whom I know personally.
Well, you can see Congresswoman Hayworth, Dr. Hayworth, who is a vivacious speaker and certainly knowledgeable about the world as we know it today. She is the keynoter at the LSU Women in Politics event, Politicking While Female, The Political Life of Women, starting at 8 o'clock, running to 5:30 next Wednesday, March 13th, at the Journalism School's Holiday Forum at 144 Fieldhouse Drive. And we will see Congresswoman Hayworth in our midst in a few days. Thank you for joining us today from your home in Bedford, New York.
Thank you, Jim. A privilege to join you, and I look forward to coming to Baton Rouge. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck.